When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com. Hi, this is Bill Black from the Exit Coach Radio Show. Last year, a business owner friend of mine died suddenly and tragically, and his family was unprepared. In his honor, I'm giving away 1,000 of my ebooks entitled Business Continuity, 5 Steps to Protect Your Family, free. All you have to do is text the word FAMILY to 44222. That's FAMILY to 44222. Don't let your family be the victim of an unplanned business. Text FAMILY to 44222 for this free information today.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today. I'm very excited about our next guest. He is Chris Bond with Murphy Business. And Chris has been with us before. You can find his past show on our radio, Exit Coach Radio archives. Just put in his last name, Bond. And Chris is in the business of helping grow value and sell small companies. And we're going to talk about seller preparedness. And Chris always has some great tips for us, so I'm looking forward to this. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Bill, and if I understand it, happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It comes once a year. What can I do about it? I can't stop them. I appreciate that. Tell us what's been happening. How are things going for you at Murphy Business? What's been happening so far this year?
It's been wonderful. A good start to the year. Number of valuation projects going on. I just picked up a terrific engagement 2 days ago, I'm happy to say. A manufacturer owned by a 62-year-old guy who was in business with his dad for 30 years, and his dad has passed on, and he wants to retire in time to enjoy retirement. So we're going to be helping him sell that niche business and transition over the next, you know, say 12 or 18 months, which is typical, and then he can go off into a new phase of life. So it's these are the kinds of projects that get me really fired up every day.
And these are the kind of projects we're probably going to see a lot of as the patriarch or the matriarch of the business now has reached the point where maybe they're passing on, or they're getting to that age where they don't have the energy or the abilities that they used to have. And so they pass it on to the son or daughter who may or may not be interested in keeping it for the next 15 or 20 years. So that we're starting to see a lot more of that, aren't we?
Oh, without a doubt. I see that literally almost every day. The folks who have kids that don't want the business, employees who can't afford the business, and oftentimes they don't even have a clue what to do. And that's where I'm just thrilled to be referred to these projects, because if nothing else, I can help them understand whether or not the business has value, and if so, what it might look like to sell it, to transition out of it, what deal structure might be apparent in a situation such as theirs. So, yeah, there is no shortage of opportunity. There are just myriad folks who don't really know where to turn and absolutely have no ability to be objective about the value of the business. That's where we come in a role where we can throw a cold pail of water in their face and help them understand what's real.
Good way to put it. And I guess a lot of people are, you know, they're thinking, well, it must be very valuable because look at all that the owner had in their life. Look at the cash flows. But there are other factors. There are a lot of factors that go into what a willing buyer will pay based on the ease of transferability and the systems and processes in place, aren't there?
Yeah, there sure are. Buyers tend to be nervous about a number of things when they look at a small business. And this is all I do is represent small businesses when it comes to valuation and sale of the business. And, yeah, there are a number of things. You know, how replaceable is the owner-operator? How likely are key staff members to stay on board? What is the customer mix and how risky is it? What's the likelihood I could buy this business and the top client or two could soon exit thereafter? So there are many more reasons to not buy a small business than there are to buy a small business. That's why we find 9 out of 10 buyer prospects, these are people that raise their hand and say, I want to buy a business or I want to grow my small business for acquisition. Roughly 90% of them aren't going to go forward. So when you talk about seller preparedness, we caution our clients against the phone call that comes in out of the blue. You know, the competitor who says, hey, Charlie, you're getting older. You know, don't take it personally, but, you know, maybe we should buy you out. Sellers can sometimes, or owners can sometimes, get overly excited about the offer that comes in through the window, not knowing that the vast majority of those supposed offers aren't going anywhere. They're just fishing expeditions.
Okay, well, that answers one question I had, which is there are a lot of people getting phone calls these days because there's, you know, talk of a lot of money on the sidelines to buy up businesses, but how many of those actually turn into something, do you think?
I don't know. I don't have good statistics on that. And I know that I'd say a lot of my clients in particular are getting the phone call. Sometimes in an unfortunate situation, they do. I just wrapped up a project for a widow. Her husband died 9 months ago. She's settling the estate. So we helped her with a project to, you know, understand the value of the business and the real estate. And she's gotten calls. You know, people 30, 60, 90 days after her husband passed reached out to say, you know, we're interested in buying the business. In those situations, it's fairly common. In the everyday run-of-the-mill situation, for example, the client engagement I just picked up a couple of days ago, that's not the case. He's 62, so he's young enough where I think folks wouldn't even necessarily think it's under his radar screen to leave. It is actually young for my client base at 62 to have firm plans to be done in the next 12 to 18 months. But it wouldn't be that crazy that he would get a call because he runs a really nice small business and they're in a niche market and they've been around 50 some odd years. And so he's definitely an attractive target. I talked to him late yesterday about the timing of when he should be expect to know of qualified buyer prospects. And I told him within 6 weeks, because I think once we have all our ducks in a row in the next couple of weeks, that first 4 weeks, I think we're going to have plenty of attention on his business. There's excitement about manufacturing. There's excitement certainly about profitable manufacturing and certainly niche businesses or those that serve niche markets. And he's got a fabulous customer base where his number one client represents just 10% of their revenue, which is just an ideal scenario. He's got a few hundred customers, and the biggest is just at that 10% mark. So he's going to be an attractive target for sure.
So it's nice because they have diversity in their vendor or their customer list, right?
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. It's a mix of for-profit and not-for-profit clients. And they've been doing it for over a half a century, and they've got a wonderful reputation. And his dad was known as this business person who just oozed integrity. So all signs are pointing towards a successful sale of the business in 2015 for this gentleman.
So what are some of the critical things, maybe there's a short list of things that business owners should have or should be working on to be prepared for when that call comes or that situation comes where maybe it's a real buyer situation and so they don't have to scramble at the last minute? What are some of the things they should be thinking about putting together to prepare for those calls?
Yeah, I just wrote a blog article maybe 30 days ago on this very topic when it relates to sales and revenues. I called it coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, you don't want to be that business owner who's saying, I coulda, I woulda, I shoulda diversified my client base or had a selling effort that was, you know, moved the needle every day. Or you wouldn't want to be that owner who's ready to sell who didn't build a small sales force or didn't build a sales culture where everybody in the business from the office manager to the drivers to installers everybody should be thinking about the role that they can play in finding a new piece of business or increasing revenue within a customer account. That, to me, is the number one thing owners who are looking down the road can do to be better prepared, is to diversify the customer base, to work on sales every single day, to have a sales culture and mindset in the organization. Because, like I said, the number one concern of their buyer prospects, whenever they're going to sell, a year from now, a decade from now, somewhere down the road, the number one concern will probably always be the same. How reliable is the revenue base? How likely is it to survive the exit of the owner-operator?
And that is the basis for just about all, at least cash flow-driven valuations, is that it's that multiple that is determined by the reliability of those cash flow, that cash flow coming in that drives what turns into your EBITDA multiple, or what, you know, it's a reliability factor. Is that right?
Yeah, and thanks for saying that, because obviously there's a big difference between revenue, you know, the money coming in, and earnings or net income or EBITDA, that which is retained when it's all said and done. So, yes, nearly every engagement on which I work, and my customer base is entirely made up of the, businesses that do under $5 million a year in revenue in some kind of distribution, manufacturing, or service business. And, yes, nearly every one of them will be sold on a multiple of their earnings. And so we got to be talking about profitable revenue. We have to be talking about good margins and money predictably falling to the bottom line if that business is ever going to be sold. There's a lot of misinformation out there where I think folks think that if they run $1 million business or they have $2 million in revenue, that they can sell the business for $1 million or $2 million. Maybe if the earnings are really good, but in average businesses, if typical for me would be a company that does $2 or $3 million in revenue and does $200,000 or $300,000 in earnings. You know, when it's all said and done, if their net income is in the 10% range, not bad, right? If the owner is paying themselves a salary and still has a couple $100,000 hit the bottom line, great. That business isn't selling for a couple $1 million, though. That business is likely selling for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. Maybe it's going to sell for a little bit more than that. But I can't tell you how many people I chat with who have a misunderstanding of their business selling on a multiple of revenue, you know, 1 or 2 times revenue, as opposed to 1 or 2, maybe 3 times the earnings. And that's where I spend a lot of time counseling owners to make sure they understand the difference and make sure that their expectations are set at the right place.
Great point. So that's the surprise factor that a lot of business owners are disenchanted when they find out, I thought my business was worth a lot more. It's because they haven't been really working on the things that you talked about, the processes and systems, diversifying their customer base, a sales culture, creating predictable profits. And so those sound like the key factors, Chris, that when you see something like that, make you a very happy person, because you know this is going to have a potentially very happy outcome. But what's the opposite of that? What are some of the let me ask you this: how many businesses that come your way look like that? They're well planned. They've got predictable profits, and what percentage of businesses look like that?
Less than 50%. I said another way, more than 50%, roughly 60% of the projects that I take on to look at the business and give advice are not ready to be sold. The earnings number isn't high enough. The suggested sale price is going to be disappointing if we can get it. There are systems that need to be ship-shaped a bit. So the way I go to market is, I expect that when I earn an assignment to help a business owner understand the value of the business, the likely market value, that they're not going to be ready. So I don't immediately put them in my pipeline as a business that can be sold. In fact, I'm thinking it's probably at least a year away, maybe a couple of years away. So I try to set that expectation with my clients that this isn't about let's list your business and see what the market tells us. It's let's study your business and see when we should have it out there for the market to examine. Probably not going to be right away. Odds are it's not going to be right away. The example I just gave you, the guy happens to run a a $3 million a year business that has, you know, $350,000 or $400,000 in EBITDA. It's got a wonderfully diversified customer base, as we talked about. So he is ready. But more often than not, they're not ready.
Okay, so let's put this in perspective for listeners. It's a rare case when a business owner approaches you and says, I want to sell, and you look at that and you say, I can sell this, you're in great shape. It's more common that it's going to be 1 to 2 years from that first look until they're in good enough shape, because it takes a while to put in all the things we're talking about. You can't just do this stuff overnight. And that's going to add on to that sale time, that timeline for that business owner, because even if they are able to sell it, how many of those sales turn into the Golf Channel giant check? You know, it's usually some kind of an earnout, right? Some kind of a verified, validated installment plan for payout. That's probably what, 3 years after that or so, right?
Yeah. Hey, with your permission, I'll use Golf Channel giant check in the future. Yes, right on. I got a call late yesterday from a woman. That's a business owned by a husband and wife, and they've been in business 10, 12, 15 years, something like that. She said, we're done. And I said, whoa, we got to talk about that. What do you mean by done? And she said, well, we're just ready to move on. I said, yesterday? Or what are we talking about? She goes, oh, no, we understand. It could be a year or two before we can actually move on. I said, well, that's a relief, because when you say done, and if I hear you want to be out yesterday, A, I probably can't help you. B, your business is probably losing value by the day. And C, everybody's going to be able to smell that from 100 feet away that you want out. You don't want to transition. You want the big golf channel to check up front. Those things right. Just don't happen. So I was so glad to hear her qualify done, meaning we realize it might take 2 years, because that's probably the reality, as you said.
Well, in fact, most of these business owners in our listener demographic should be instead saying, I'm ready to start, not I'm done. I'm ready to start planning for my exit, so that everybody's going to have a happy outcome, because that's the reality of the situation as I hear it.
Oh, yeah, as do I. And that would be the dream call. I'm ready to start the process, which I know is going to be a roller coaster riddled with disappointment. I'd love to have somebody in that position that they typically aren't that ready. And in fairness to them, it's probably because they've never done it before. It'll probably be the one and only time they sell a business. Typical client for me is middle 60s, you know, 70s, even upwards of 80 years old. Never done it before, and there's no reason to expect that they know what's going to happen. It would be highly unfair of me to expect that they would know what was going to happen, or to be at all off-put by people who don't know what's going to happen. Why should they know? I don't know how to make what they're making in their shop. Why should they know that it's going to be a process, that it's going to take time to earn out money, that it's probably not worth as much as they hope? I mean, there's no reason for them to know that stuff. They've had their head down for decades.
All they've heard is stories, and the problem is the biggest thing they can probably relate that to, the biggest other asset, is a home sale, right?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the only thing. I'm going to list my business and see what it's not the way it's not quite the way it goes. It takes time and it takes effort. So we're really happy that you're there for. So you write a blog, you review books, you do a lot of great stuff. Tell our listeners how to find you and find out more about what you do to help business owners get prepared and sell their business.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate you giving me that chance. TimesUpLLC.com is where I post everything. TimesUpLLC.com is my blog. It's got my book reviews and the blog posts. It's got core philosophies of how we do what we do and why. I even put pricing on there. It is what it is. And there are some basic services that we're very proud to offer the business owner that's looking for some straight feedback and advice and counseling. And I put it right out there because it's extraordinarily busy these days. But B, I just see no reason to hide from the reality of the fact that we feel like we deliver a hard-hitting service. We have to charge for that, obviously, and it may as well be right out there on our site.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Hey, listeners, don't listen to rumors. Don't listen to stories about people who have, you know, miraculously sold their business and now they're ultimately wealthy. Listen to people who are in the trenches. Listen to people who are doing this daily. You can get a lot more advice, and Chris provides a lot of advice for this. So please visit Chris Bond's website. And Chris, we want to thank you very much for coming back on. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I look forward to the next time.
Hey, same here, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this with another guest, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.